do not seek to kill me, Dumbledore," called Voldemort, his scarlet eyes narrowed over the top of the shield. "Above such brutality, are you? We both know that there are other ways of destroying a man, Tom," Dumbledore said calmly, continuing to walk toward Voldemort as though he had not a fear in the world, as though nothing had happened to interrupt his stroll up the hall. "Merely taking your life would not satisfy me, I admit."
"There is nothing worse than death, Dumbledore,"
snarled Voldemort.
"You are quite wrong,"
said Dumbledore, still closing in upon Voldemort and speaking as lightly as though they were discussing the matter over drinks. Harry felt scared to see him walking along, undefended, shieldless. He wanted to cry out a warning, but his headless guard kept shunting him backward toward the wall, blocking his every attempt to get out from behind it.
"Indeed, your failure to understand that there are things much worse than death has always been your greatest weakness."
Another jet of green light flew from behind the silver shield. This time it was the one-armed centaur galloping in front of Dumbledore that took the blast and shattered into 100 pieces. But before the fragments had even hit the floor, Dumbledore had drawn back his wand and waved it as though brandishing a whip. A long, thin flame flew from the tip. It wrapped itself around Voldemort, shield and all. For a moment, it seemed Dumbledore had won. But then the fiery rope became a serpent, which relinquished its hold upon Voldemort at once and turned, hissing furiously, to face Dumbledore. Voldemort vanished. The snake reared from the floor, ready to strike. There was a burst of flame in midair above Dumbledore, just as Voldemort reappeared, standing on the plinth in the middle of the pool where so recently the five statues had stood.
"Look out!"
Harry yelled. But even as he shouted, one more jet of green light had flown at Dumbledore from Voldemort's wand, and the snake had struck. Fork swooped down in front of Dumbledore, opened his beak wide, and swallowed the jet of green light whole. He burst into flame and fell to the floor, small, wrinkled, and flightless. At the same moment, Dumbledore brandished his wand in one long, fluid movement. The snake, which had been an instant from sinking its fangs into him, flew high into the air and vanished in a wisp of dark smoke. The water in the pool rose up and covered Voldemort, like a cocoon of molten glass. For a few seconds, Voldemort was visible only as a dark, rippling, faceless figure, shimmering and indistinct upon the plinth, clearly struggling to throw off the suffocating mass. Then he was gone, and the water fell with a crash back into its pool, slopping wildly over the sides, drenching the polished floor.
"Master!"
screamed Bellatrix. Sure it was over, sure Voldemort had decided to flee. Harry made to run out from behind his statue guard, but Dumbledore bellowed,
"Stay where you are, Harry!"
For the first time, Dumbledore sounded frightened. Harry could not see why. The hall was quite empty but for themselves, the sobbing Bellatrix still trapped under her statue, and the tiny baby Fawkes croaking feebly on the floor. And then Harry's scar burst open. He knew he was dead. It was pain beyond imagining, pain past endurance. He was gone from the hall. He was locked in the coils of a creature with red eyes, so tightly bound that Harry did not know where his body ended and the creature's began. They were fused together, bound by pain, and there was no escape. And when the creature spoke, it used Harry's mouth so that in his agony he felt his jaw move.
"Kill me now, Dumbledore."
Blinded and dying, every part of him screaming for release, Harry felt the creature use him again.
"If death is nothing, Dumbledore, kill the boy."
"Let the pain stop,"
thought Harry.
"Let him kill us. End it, Dumbledore. Death is nothing compared to this, and I'll see Sirius again."
And as Harry's heart filled with emotion, the creature's coils loosened. The pain was gone. Harry was lying face down on the floor, his glasses gone, shivering as though he lay upon ice, not wood. And there were voices echoing through the hall, more voices than there should have been. Harry opened his eyes, saw his glasses lying at the heel of the headless statue that had been guarding him, but which now lay flat on its back, cracked and immobile. He put them on and raised his head an inch, to find Dumbledore's crooked nose inches from his own.